Boy.
How are you getting along?
Boy. Just struggling away, you know, a blind hog.
Have you read this ticker about your trying to swing the election for Humphrey on negotiations? Nixon's charge?
No, I didn't see that.
I think you ought to answer it.
All right, now let's see, guys. Do you know if it's AP or UP?
It's UPI 70, and here's what it says.
70, all right.
Nixon repeated what he had said a number of times in campaign appearances, that in foreign affairs, the president must be this country's only spokesman. The Paris negotiations are critically important and exceedingly delicate, unquote, he said. At such a time, I believe every presidential candidate should mind his tongue to avoid weakening our diplomatic hand by irresponsible comments on the matter at issue, unquote. Now, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wished he would mind his tongue. Herbert G. Klein, I think you ought to say he better take his own advice and mind his tongue. That's the first point I'd make if I were you. Second, Herbert Klein, spokesman for Nixon, refused flatly to identify, quote, the top officials in the administration, unquote, referred to by the Republican candidate, saying this information had come to the Nixon people in a manner which did not make it proper for them to disclose. Behind the scenes, comma, however, Nixon aides said the principal pressure for dramatic peace development in the immediate future came from Secretary of Defense Clark M. Clifford. Cyrus Vance, one of the chief negotiators, Joseph Califano, the special assistant to the president, and George H. Ball, who resigned as U.S. ambassador to the United Nations to become a foreign policy advisor to the Humphrey campaign. Klein said, while the situation as reported to Nixon was a matter of warranting concern, we don't think it can change the outcome of the election. Now, has Ball talked to you any about this since you left the government?
Not one.
I have asked all the top officials that deal with me to report to me any contacts by any of the candidates, their representatives. I really want to know about them. And you told me the last time I heard of was that Muskie wanted to talk to you for a briefing.
That's the last one.
All right. Now, what I think we ought to say is that when this as the old Nixon, with the reemergence of the old Nixon, and involving your name, the first thing you did was to try to ascertain what he was talking about and what the facts were. He thought his preceding sentence was pretty good. Mind his tongue, because it was delicate. That you certainly agreed that he ought to mind his tongue, and it is delicate. Number one. Number two, that you found out that Mr. Califano had never attended any meeting in connection with the negotiations, that his duties are confined solely, he advises, to domestic matters. That number two, that no top official has talked to Mr. Ball since he resigned from the government in connection with these negotiations. None of the top Washington officials have discussed it with him. Number three, that you have not had any such discussions that related politics to any manner, shape, or form, or nor would you permit them in your presence. And number four, that it's an insult to Mr. Vance, who's carrying on a very great service, duty for his country, and that you can expect things to happen in the worrying days of the campaign. But you do remind Mr. Nixon that the statement that he wrote several weeks ago is good advice for himself as well as other candidates.
Well,
what's wrong with that?
In my opinion, if Mr. Nixon makes some kind of charge, then I'd be willing to dignify it by a reply. My own view of this, Mr. President, is that this is some staff member. Did you say that this is something Mr. Klein?
Mr. Klein and Nixon aides. Nixon set it up himself by saying that you should mind your tongue and you shouldn't do it. Then he said, we have charges that top administration officials are doing this, that he does not believe the president would do anything like that. And he uses a little rhetoric. He sets up the straw man and knocks him down. Then the reporters got after him to identify the top officials. They identified him. The aides identified him. The spokesman for Nixon identified him. They identified these four. I called Rusk. We had this same stuff in the 64 campaign. We had a procedure then that within an hour when they announced something, we would answer it, put the facts on the record, kind of truth squad deal. McNamara had four or five people just selected to chase these things down, and they charged him with everything. He was one of the whipping boys, go on. So I called, first thing I talked to Califano. He said that the Nixon spokesman commenting on the queries that came from the Nixon personal statement, the top officials he had been informed were doing this, but he didn't believe the president would do it.
Well, as I understand it, what the charge is that we're attempting to make progress on the road to peace for political ends, is that it?
Yes, the charge is that we're making a phony deal here to influence the election for Humphrey.
Well, of course, we're all engaged in efforts toward peace. Now, if they want to construe that as having a political cast to it, well, hell, there isn't anything that anybody can say, in my opinion, that takes the political cast away from it. I'd like to get it and read it, Mr.
All right, get Nixon's original statement and listen to get some of them to give you one of the transcriptions. CBS, they've been blaring it every hour. Right. Nixon's own statement. And Nixon, in effect, says that he has been informed by high sources that administration officials are trying desperately to bring about a halt in the bombing for the purpose of trying to save the election from Nixon. Now, that's generally the charge. Nixon comments on that information that's been brought to him by saying that he's convinced the president's not a party to this, that he thinks men ought to mind their tongue and not comment, and be very delicate. These are very delicate negotiations. Now, period. That's where Nixon leaves it. He goes off and goes to sleep. Then reporters come in, decline his spokesman, said, who are these evil men? He says, four of them. Then he says that he doesn't think it'll affect the election. He doesn't think it can influence it, but this is what happens. Now, it happens that neither Ball nor Califano are in on any of the negotiations involving advances in Paris, negotiating not on the election, but negotiating with the North Vietnamese. And that the election's not involved in anything that you're doing. It's just a dastardly, vicious innuendo that is reminiscent of the old Nixon.
Now, the one question in my mind would be whether or not it just doesn't build up something that, as far as I'm concerned, doesn't make any sense anyway.
Well, might do that. That's why maybe George Christian will answer. I think if they're building
it out, study it, I'll talk to George. But I'll talk to my man, and I'll talk to George.
Okay.
Thank you.